My book, Don't Quit, Your Faith Will See You Through, is out there. I guess it's out there. I don't know. But I'm taking some thoughts out of chapter 6 of the book, Don't Quit, Your Faith Will See You Through. If you want to see all of it, get all of it. It's out there if you want it. I'm not trying to sell a book, just telling you where it's where the message come from tonight. It came from the chapter 6 in that book. It says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It says here, fight the good fight of faith. You know, there'll be times in our life that we're going to have to stand our ground and fight the good fight of faith, because the enemy is trying to steal everything that God said belonged to us in this word. He's trying to take it away from us. You know, if you look into the word of God from the first page of Genesis to the last page of Revelation, you'll find out that God, he's telling us, now not in these words, but in as you put it all together, he's telling us, don't give up, keep on trusting me, I'll bring you through any difficulty, I'll give you a victorious life. Now, it may not say it in those exact words, but as you read the word of God, that's what he's saying to us. So, you know, we face challenges and oppositions and all kinds of circumstances. And there's probably not anybody here that sometime you have thought, what's the use? I might as well give up. How many of you ever had that thought? Well, I got a few honest people that raised their hands. I imagine everybody has that thought sometime or another. But, you know, we realize that in the Word of God, you had Abraham, you got the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, you got all the people in the Word of God. And if you'll notice, they faced a lot of difficulties, a lot of seemingly insurmountable difficulties and situations. And I wonder if the thought ever came to them, should I quit or should I keep on promising, keep on fighting for what God promised me? You know, it's one thing to quit a fight in the natural. But man, when you have a quit in the middle of a spiritual fight, you're dealing with life or death. And it's extremely important that you learn how to get your faith working, because your faith is what will see you through to victory if you don't quit. You know, in a fight, you know, any of you ever watched boxing on boxing match or been to one or watched it on TV? You know, I've seen guys get knocked down in the first round, lose several rounds, but they come back and win the fight because they just wouldn't quit. They had the opportunity to. They was getting beat to death, but they wouldn't quit, and they come back and win the fight. You know, the devil may give you a couple of hard blows, and he may get in a couple of good licks, but just because he gets in a couple of good licks doesn't mean that he can win the whole fight. You're going home. You still here? Wave at me if you're still here. Okay, good, good, good. You know, if we'll put our trust in God's word instead of what we can do in the natural, we'll find out that we'll come out victorious. Our trust is in God, not in what we can do, but in what God can do with us and through us. You know, you need to keep your spiritual muscles built up. And there's a lot of people, when everything's going good, they don't read the word much. They don't pray much, you know. It just seems like everybody has to get in a crisis situation before they run to the word of God. You know, when that happens, yeah, and the devil hits you, you get hit hard. But, you know, it's just like if you ever worked out and lifting weights, you can build up to a certain amount of weight that you're lifting. But if you lay off for a month, you can't go back there and start out at the weight that you quit at, because you haven't kept your muscle tone up. It's the same way with the Word of God. If you don't keep the Word of God going continually, then you get weak to the devil's situations. You know, we have to have the attitude that I will refuse to quit. The devil cannot push me in the corner, and I cannot be defeated. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. That's been my motto since I was a little kid. That's just the way I am. But we have to have the attitude. Remember, Christ says if you'll stay faithful to the word, he'll give you victory in every circumstance. You know, you may find yourself in a difficult situation, and the devil may be bringing all kinds of things your direction. Has anybody ever been there but me? Oh, I got some other people been there too. I mean, as the old saying says, where I come from down in Texas, you know, he's throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink. Anybody ever heard that? I mean, it looks like that there is no way out, that you're going to go under. But, you know, that's exactly when you've got to come back to this scripture, fight the good fight of faith. Just grit your teeth and say, Mr. Devil, you're not going to win. You might as well leave now. You might as well give up now. You're not going to win. You know, I was wrestling with my uncle, my dad's youngest brother, Uncle Pat, and I was about 18, 20, something like 19, somewhere in there. We were wrestling, and of course, you know, he had me, got me in an arm bar, and he wanted me to say uncle, and I said, I'm not going to say it. I said, you can either break my arm and I can go get it fixed, or you can turn me loose, because I am not going to do it. That's the kind of tenacity you have to have when the devil is coming at you. He may have you in a lock, and you just going to have to say, hey, I'm not going to give the word of God. So he just turned me loose. He said, you're just like all the rest of us. You won't quit. I said, that's right. That's the way we are. But that's the way we have to be in our spiritual walk. We have to get to the point that we won't quit. No matter what happens, we won't quit. You know, there's a lot of people that they almost got to victory, and the devil will come to them and begin to talk to them, tell them, well, it's not going to happen this time. You might as well give up. And you know what? They give up on the doorstep of victory. Instead of pressing on in faith, they say, well, I guess that's right. I guess God's not going to answer this time. So they quit. They give in. And they never take another step of faith. They never move in and get all that God has for them. You know, now, I didn't say these people that give up. I mean, you've probably seen them. I've dealt with them in 58 years of ministry. I've dealt with these people as pastor. You know, it's not that they're not saved. I didn't say they wasn't saved. I didn't say they wasn't going to heaven. They're just not experiencing the blessings of God that belong to them. Do you realize that there's blessings that God said belong to you because of who you are in Christ? I remember the teaching I did last year, I did a whole series on in Christ, who we are in him. How many remember that? Because of who we are in Christ. Not because of who we are, but because of who we are in Christ. He is, you know, we need to realize that we have been promised blessing. Not curses, but blessings. Read the word of God. And you find out that the people that you read about, Peter, John, all of those guys, when you read about them, you'll find out they weren't necessarily any smarter than we are. They weren't any braver or wiser than we are. They were just people that had a tenacity and a determination of faith who wouldn't take no for an answer. Hello. You know, say it with me. I'm not going to quit no matter what happens. See, that's the only way to victory. You know, go to Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:32. I'll give you a chance to turn there or find it on your iPhone or your device, iPad. I got it here. I got it on my iPad. I really like to look at it on the iPad a lot of times because I've got a whole bunch of different translations, and I can go to each one of them. And as you read the different translations, it gives you a better concept sometimes of what the scripture is really talking about. Now look at this. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. In other words, they sent them running. Now, you know, here we look at this. And it says that Gideon, and here it said these people, what shall I say? Not telling Gideon all these, of what they did because they believed God. Gideon was hiding from the enemy when God came down and talked to him. You know, Samson, David, Jephthah, all these guys, and you can go on and on. They did mighty things for God, not because of how smart they were, not because of who they were, but because they were willing to stand the test of time and fight and refuse to quit. Look at David. I mean, he was crowned king. I mean, he was anointed king when he was a teenager. But it was many years later before he ever got. He was running for his life and I don't know what all. But he kept on because he knew that he was the king. You got it? See, they kept their faith strong in the face of fire, in the face of the lions, in the face of every obstacle that they encountered. See, if they could do it, then we can do it. Because God says so. You know, look at Hebrews 12:1. Just turn right there. Some of you just turn a page. Some of you, if your Bible may not even have to turn a page. It may just be on the other side of the page there. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, another person has said it this way. Wherefore, seeing that we are standing on the playing field with the grandstand full of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights that would entangle us. Now, you have to understand the writer of this script of these scriptures. If it was Paul, if it wasn't Paul, it was one of his followers. Many people think it's Paul. Nobody really knows for sure who the writer of Hebrews were, but many people think it's Paul. Or it had to be one of his associates because it has too much of the Paulinian language in it. That's just a fancy word for Paul's language. We learned that when you study bibliology and canonicity in Bible school, you know, well, I learned that kind of stuff. Brother John probably learned that too, you know. Now, you understand where this scripture is coming from. It's coming from the Greek Olympiads, from the Olympics. In fact, we're getting ready to have them. They still having them today. We're getting ready to have it in Rio next month. We're having the Olympics. Now, what these people would do that were going to be involved in racing and in various competitions of trials and strength and endurance, they would wear weights on their arms and legs. And they had on heavy like a body armor, and they would train with this on. But when it came time for the contest, they ripped all that off. And see, that's what he's talking about. Hey, lay aside all this stuff, and all these things, and run the race. See, lay aside all the circumstances, the emotions, all the junk that the devil's throwing at you. Lay it aside. You know, when I ran in high school in the 50s, I ran track in high school in 1957. I graduated in 58. And I would train with my baseball cleats on because they were heavier. Now, we didn't have the fine tracks they have today and all the equipment we have today. We had the old cinder tracks, and if you fell on it, you were picking that cinders out of you for weeks. And we had old long spikes about that long. I mean, if somebody stepped on you, it's going all the way through your foot, I can tell you. And, you know, but I would train with my baseball shoes on, and I had some weights I would strap around my ankles, and I would wear my I'm not talking about this nylon stuff. I'm talking about one of them old heavy sweatsuits we used to call. That's what we used to call. How many remember when they used to call them sweatsuits, you know? And I would wear that. That's what I would train with. But when it come time, and even when I was at the race, when I was warming up, just doing the warm-ups, I would wear that on me. So, and then I would take all of it off when I got ready to run, because I couldn't run with all that weight on and stay up with the rest of them. You know, that's what this scripture's talking about. It's talking about the fact that we got to lay aside all these weights, lay them aside, you know, the circumstances, the situations, the things that the enemy is bringing to you that want to weight you down and keep you from accomplishing what God has for you, the blessing God has for you. And then it goes on to say that we have this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. You know, it's like being in the grandstand. They're cheering us on. You know, they're saying, come on, you can make it. The word says you can. You know, Abraham, Moses, our relatives, my dad, my father-in-law, my mom, my mother-in-law, all of, you know, my relatives that are up there, they're all cheering us on, saying, hey, come on, you can make it. The word says you're more than a conqueror. You can do it. Come on. You know, I remember, you know, my dad traveled. He left the pastorate of a church in January of 1949, and he never pastored again. He traveled all those times. All my athletic career in high school, junior high and high school, he never saw me race or have in any athletic event, ball, playing ball or anything, except one race. He was traveling. I was going to Kenville Bible Academy my junior year in high school, and I was running track for Kenville Bible Academy. And he was traveling through from down in California up to Sweet Home Morgan, I think, to preach for Brother A.H. Barton, one of our friends, one of his pastor friends. And he came through the city where we were having the track meet, and so he came to the track meet on the way. Now, we were just a small school, and so we were running with the double A's and the triple A's and the four A's. I mean, we were just a small A school, I think, or maybe even B, I don't know. But anyway, they didn't even consider us because, you know, everybody else get to draw for lanes, what lane assignment you get. They didn't. They said, hey, y'all are a little school. We don't want you to get in anybody's way. So they just assigned us the outside lane. Now, in the new tracks, it's different. But in the old cinder track, that outside lane you didn't want because it would have holes in it and sometimes grass growing over in it because they didn't maintain it like they did the inside lanes. And so, you know, I get up there and that starter looks down at me and he said, now, son, you're running with the big boys today, so make sure you stay out of everybody's way. Well, I mean, you don't say that to me. I mean, that's just, I said, I'll show you. And I took off. Now I'm coming down off of that corner way out there. Now I'm coming down the straightaway about 30 yards or so, maybe 50. I don't know how far it was, somewhere between 30 and 50 yards. And I'm headed toward the finish line out there. And I saw my dad. He leaned out over the track and hollered, Ken, they're catching you. Run. Well, you know your dad's voice. I mean, with all the other cheering that was going on, I picked up his voice. And I thought to myself, man, I'm doing everything I can. But then I reached out on the inside and pulled some more out and really turned it on, you know. And I crossed the finish line and turned around looking. And I was about 20 yards in front of everybody. And I stepped off the track. And he said, a great race. Now you know how fast you can really run. Now, the point I'm trying to make is sometimes we think we're doing all we can do in running our race for God. But you know what? If we just reach down on the inside, the Holy Spirit will give us more strength. We can pull out. You know, I had been training really hard because we were getting ready for the state meet. And when the coach would let people go in, I'd stay out and run extra 5 or 6 220s and so forth. You know, I said, man, the locker room is full anyway, and it's a mess in there. I'm gonna go out here and do some more training. But, you know, that extra training, I pulled on that. In that race, I pulled on that. Hey, the reading of the word, the praying, well, that's what you can pull on. When you get to that point, you think you've done all you can do. You say, I'm not going to quit, devil. You're not going to get me. And you reach on the inside and you pull out. You know, you got to have that kind of attitude, like a persevering faith. I'm going to get it no matter what the devil says. The devil can't convince me that it's not going to happen. Hello? You know, John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just have life, have it more abundantly. Another translation says, have it to the full. Hello? You know, more abundantly, not just abundant, but a more abundantly, that you might have life and have an abundant life. You know, decide today that you're not going to allow the devil to cause you to quit. Now, I realize it's 7:05. I know we're supposed to be through about 7, but I'm going to run over tonight, okay? Even if it's not, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to be like Craig tonight. I'm going to go over. I'm not going to go over much, though. Hey, I want to give you some keys to helping you to persevere in your race, okay? First of all, you're not running this Christian race for yourself. It's for the glory of God. When you refuse to quit and keep running the race of life, it brings glory to God. And that's what you want to do. You want to glorify God. As you run this life, you need to continually let the word of God be coming out of your mouth, because that's where your strength comes from. You know, it comes from there. See, you need to continually say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Nobody can conquer. The devil can't conquer me. Circumstances can't conquer me. You need to say, that was Romans 8:37, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Yes. You cannot be defeated if you won't quit. That's right. See, if you won't give up on God, God won't give up on you. God never gives up. It's you that gives up. Okay? You need to be quoting 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always, not sometimes, not hope so, not maybe so, always causes me to triumph. You know, now I realize that some people have run into situations and they've sort of just slowed down or almost quit their race. But hey, turn to God and ask him for renewed strength. That's what I'm talking about. Go to the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get renewed strength. And decide that you're going to get back in the race and run with everything you got and get all the blessings that God has for you. Now, key number two, remember God has invited you. You have an invitation. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you need help in running your race, God has invited you to come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, and approach it with boldness and and confidence. Now, the enemy will try to tell you, hey, you don't deserve it. You know what I mean? Man, the way you've lived, what do you think? He'll try to tell you that you don't have the right to come into that place. He'll give you every reason in the world. See, in Psalms 46:1, it said, God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You, he's invited you because of who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. You have a right. You know, I got those five grandsons, and you know what? When they were younger, you know, they come up to the office. They're 3, 4, 5 years old. Hey, they just come flying down the hall and come into Poppy's office. Why? They didn't pay any attention to no secretary sitting out there. And now you don't call them secretaries no more. What do you call them now? Administrative assistants. Isn't it funny how everything changes names? Same job, just changes name. You know, it used to be personnel department. Now it's the human resource department. I mean, whatever. You know, shipping and receiving now is the distribution center. Anyway, they didn't pay any attention to what the people there that was there. But why? Because of who they were, they had a right to come down there to my office. Let me understand what I'm talking about. See, because of who you are in Christ, you got a right to come boldly into the throne of grace and ask for whatever help you need. Amen? All right, now, number 3. Keep pressing on in faith or persevering in faith. You got to keep on keeping on, you might say. Mark 5, 25 through 34 is this woman with the issue of blood. This is a great example of somebody that persevered and got what she wanted from God. She said, if I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole. But now she had some problems facing her. Number one, she wasn't supposed to be out with everybody in the general populace because she had a blood condition. If you go read she was operating under the law. If you go read the law back in Leviticus, it tells you that they're not supposed to be out there. Now she finds Jesus. When she gets to Jesus, there's a huge crowd there. Huge crowd. Now she has to fight her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. But I want you to notice that she pressed her way through the crowd. She got there. We have to be like that sometimes with all the circumstances and junk that's pressing in upon us. We just got to fight our way through it. How many ever had to fight your way through a crowd to get to the front of something that you wanted? You know, she got there. You got to learn to press your way through every obstacle that gets in your way. You got to persevere past every emotion and all kinds of feelings. You got to, press beyond the criticisms and the opposition that's coming against you. Keep on persevering in faith, and the same thing will happen to you that happened to the woman. Jesus said to her, your faith has made me whole. He didn't say his power. Now, his power had something to do with it because it said the power went out of it. But he didn't say the power healed her. He said, your faith. It's your persevering in faith that will bring the answer to you. All right? Number 4, learn to plead your own case or pray for yourself. Woman issue with the issue, she didn't depend on somebody else to help her. She went after it herself. She didn't have somebody else to go and say, hey, Jesus, there's a lady back here. She needs some help. No, she pressed in and got it herself. You know, my dad used to tell me, he said, son, learn to plead your own case. Learn to pray for yourself because nobody cares about you like you do. Come on now. You know, somebody might say, well, pray for me. Well, I will if the Lord brings you to my attention or I think about you, I'll pray for you. But you know what? I think about myself every day. You do too. Hello. And you know, there's nobody that can plead your case with God better than you can because you know all the ins and outs when you're praying. You can plead your case. You know, don't let fears and insecurities and condemnation and all that stuff keep you from receiving what God has as yours. Come ready to receive. Okay? Jesus said, daughter, your faith made you whole. This woman's tenacity, her perseverance in faith got her the answer. Your perseverance in faith will get you the answer. Now, I didn't say it would be easy, but I said you would get the answer. This is God right here talking to you. And every one of these blessings belong to you, but they are not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree or apples or whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to say. You are going to get these blessings as you persevere in faith and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm going to get what God said belongs to me. I can have what God says I can have. I can do what God says I can do. I can be what God says I can be. I can have the blessing. But it comes to those that are willing to persevere. Amen. You know, a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. That's a true statement. You know, I've been on ball clubs, football, baseball, basketball, where we're down in the score, and you can see the guys, they just sort of have, and I'm out there giving, I'm giving it everything I got because I'm not going to quit. I don't care what the score is. They used to say to some of the guys on the football team, say, Hagin, what's the matter with you? Said, you don't have a crying chance of catching that guy, but you run until he crosses the goal line. I said, that's right. Because I said, I don't quit. There might be a chance that he slowed down. There might be a chance he dropped the ball. There might be a chance that I could catch him. But you see, the other guys, they half-hearted go at it. I don't. I would run, grit my teeth, and run as hard as I. And a couple of three or four times, I caught them before they got to the end zone. And the coach said, how'd you do it? I said, I just wouldn't quit. That's how I did it. That's what you're going to have to do. With the enemy, I don't care where he's got you. I don't care how much pressure he's put on you. Oh, you're going to have to keep going no matter what and say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. That's it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Bam. There's nothing else to say. Hello. I want you to notice that this woman with this issue of blood in Mark 5 is the only one that the Bible records in that whole crowd, that whole press, that whole crowd that was, it said it was thronging him. You read the scripture? Did you notice she is the only one that it talks about that got anything in that crowd? Because she persevered in faith. You go to Luke 5 and you'll find out that it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but none of them got healed. Four guys had brought a man on a stretcher, and when he couldn't get in the house, they went up and tore the roof off and let him down. And it says when Jesus saw their faith, he said, rise, be healed. They persevered. Oh, well, I guess we're going to take you back home. We can't get into Jesus now. It said the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but only him got healed. Why did him get healed? Because they persevered in faith. And Jesus said, when he saw their faith, your faith will see you through. If you'll be willing to persevere. I didn't say it would be easy, but I'll tell you one thing. I know. I've been there. Bought the T-shirt and got the hat and everything else. I've been there when the devil told me it ain't going to happen. And I kept persevering in faith, and it happened because God said it. I believe it. I believe what God says. Amen. We believe, therefore we speak. That's what Paul said. We need to do the same thing. We believe, therefore we speak. Therefore, we say, the woman said, if I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole. You need to learn to say, every promise in the book is mine. Amen. And I'm going to have them. There are not enough devils in hell to keep me from having every promise in the book. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? I preached long enough. I might as well shut up. Hallelujah. But I wanted to stir you up to grab a hold to what God said is yours. And not turn it loose, but persevere. Yes. Hang on to it like a dog does a bone. You ever seen how a dog will hang on to a bone? You can give that dog a bone and you can grab a hold of it and you can lift that dog plumb off the ground. It won't turn loose that bone. Anybody ever done that? I did it when I was a kid with my bulldog. He wouldn't turn loose. Old Mickey. I got a picture of him up in my workout area at the house. Mickey, my old bulldog. My grandpa bought him for my mom's dad. But only grandpa I had. But he wouldn't turn loose. You give him that bone, he's not going to turn loose a little bit. I don't care what you do. You can hit him and do everything, but that's his bone. Hey, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to grab hold of the Word of God and hang on to it and say there's not no devil in hell or nothing else that's going to keep me from getting what this Bible said is mine. Hallelujah. Stand up and thank God because every word is yours. Hallelujah. If you'll persevere, you will overcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I trust you got something tonight. I got a little excited preaching. I got a little preach on tonight, you know. Sometimes I teach and sometimes I preach and sometimes I teach and sometimes I don't know what I do. I just talk. But anyway, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you're here tonight, bow your heads, please, and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord, or you just go to church, you don't know whether you've ever received Christ or not, I'd like to pray with you and for you. Just let me see your hand anywhere in the room. I'll pray with you tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I don't see any hands. You know, we believe in receiving the Holy Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak in tongues. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, I see a hand back there. Would you just walk down here to the front? We'll pray with you, and then we'll send you back to a room where people can pray with you. You can come with her. You brought her. You can come with her. Praise the Lord. Everybody reach your hands out as I pray for this lady, and then we're going to have her go to the prayer room and they're going to pray with her. Father, I thank you right now that the spiritual need in this life of being filled with the Holy Spirit will be met tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, would you just go with, where's Heather at? Come on, Heather. Heather and go to the prayer room right now. Diane, you can go with them, please. Just go to the prayer room. Praise God. Thank God for that. How many of you believe she's going to receive the Holy Spirit tonight? Amen. Amen. She won't leave here like she came in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, would you be seated, please? You know, we are going to receive communion tonight. I set aside usually once a month over in Tulsa, and I do the same thing here on a Sunday night, and this is our night to receive communion. Let me read from the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Tonight we are going to partake. These emblems are simply types. They are not the blood and the body of Christ. They represent that. And we're going to show forth his death till he comes. Everyone hold your element until everyone is served. And then we'll all partake together. While they're serving you, they're going to be singing. Would you be singing and worshiping God with them, please? Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Levi.
The blood of Jesus. Pour the blood.
Everybody sing, worship the Lord.
Jesus. Pour the blood of Jesus. Jesus, it washes white as snow. And oh, the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
But the blood. This cup represents his shed blood. This little wafer represents his broken body. He gave his lifeblood for our redemption. His body was beaten and broken for our physical health. As we partake of these tonight, if you need healing, as you break this and eat it, say, I eat healing. I take healing, you know. As we partake of the cup, let us thank God for our redemption and our salvation. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your Son that gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That took stripes upon his back and his body was beaten and broken and bruised for our physical healing. We thank you for that now, and we do show forth that by partaking of these emblems. In Jesus' name, amen. Break and eat. Shall we drink together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For just a moment, let each one of you, in your own way, thank your Lord and your Savior. Father, I thank you for Jesus, for all that he's done for us, and all the blessings that he's given us. I thank you for salvation and for healing, Father. Oh, we give him all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we stand and sing, Levi?
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Well, next Sunday night, we're going to do it all over again, so be here. Bring somebody with you. You know, this is, enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night. They started, for you visitors, I thought I'd say this, we know it. They started Saturday night service so people could be off on Sunday. Well, we just have it on Sunday night so people be off all weekend. Come on Sunday night right here. Amen. I didn't want to do the video thing, and it's the only way I could do it. And the Lord said, well, hey, you can do it that way. They did Saturday night, so we do Sunday night, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, everybody, I'm going to one door. She's going to the other. We'll shake hands with you as you go out the door. God bless you. Thanks you for being here. Hey, if there's any of this stuff left out there, go out there and fellowship before you go home.